Next case is 95-1278 ATS Ohio Inc. v. Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Clevenger.
Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices, my name is Ted Clevenger. I'm appearing on behalf of ATS Ohio, the appellant in this matter. Chief Justice, I'd like, if I may, to reserve 3 to 4 minutes for rebuttal, if the time permits. I'd like to begin briefly with just describing the factual background and how this case arose and why the court is hearing it today. ATS Ohio is engaged in the business of making customized automated manufacturing systems for other companies. During the construction period, which normally takes 4 to 5 months, ATS receives progress payments toward the payment of the machines, and those progress payments are spread out over a period of time during the construction. Now, in filing its Ohio personal property tax returns, ATS Ohio lists the machines which they're constructing in its return, but ATS reduces the value of those machines by the amount of progress payments which it has received up through that period of time. Now, the reason for excluding the progress payments and evaluation of the inventory, it is the position of ATS that they do not own that inventory to the extent that the customers have made progress payments to ATS for that particular inventory, those machines being manufactured.
Does the issue of transfer of title settle the whole case?
I don't think so, Justice Douglas, because I think...
If it does not, then does this not need to go back to the Board of Tax Appeals to determine which was exempt and which was not as work in progress? Because it seems to me your proposition exempts everything, and I think admittedly your argument, some of it may not be exempt.
No, my argument is not that all of the inventory is exempt.
Okay.
My argument is, and this would be, for example, in the record I'm trying to recall from memory, but for example, if ATS has on its books and records approximately $10 million in inventory cost, in other words, the cost they put into it, material, labor, overhead, etc. And toward that inventory, they have received $8 million in progress payments. The valuation of the inventory owned by ATS, it is our position, is $2 million. To the extent that the customers have paid $8 million, the customers are entitled to ownership of that inventory to that extent. So the inventory is subject to tax. And the question is, how much of that inventory has been, the ownership of which has been transferred to
the
customer?
There has been no determination of that in this case by the Board of Tax Appeals, have they? Your first proposition of law, the $8 million, $2 million example you give, you are conceding by your first proposition of law then that the $2 million is taxable?
Yes.
Now, do we have any record to determine any one of these transactions that we're asked about what is exempt and what is taxable?
It could be discerned from the record, Justice Douglas. I mean, the calculations would have to be done, but the amounts of the assessment reflected only the elimination of the progress payments.
What if I told you that calculators are broke?
Well,
that's just something we normally would do. That's all I was asking. If you concede that there is a question that not everything is exempt, then that's really, to me, your strongest argument. Some of it is, but you can see that some of it is not.
That's correct. And if this court were to so decide and remand it to the Board of Tax Appeals, the Board of Tax Appeals has available the information to make that determination.
Counsel, with respect to the inventory for which you have received payment and you indicate the title, in your view, the transfers, is that still a taxable item that in the hands of your customers?
It would be a taxable item in the hands of the customer.
Okay, does your company, when you receive these payments, then routinely notify notify the customers that at this point, obligation for payment of tax is transferred, and you should file with the appropriate taxing authorities tax amount of...
Justice Pfeiffer, no, they don't, and I have to go back and answer your question. It was an error in what I said to you. Can you ask me whether or not the machinery and equipment for which progress payments have been made will be taxable to the customer? There is another provision under Ohio personal property tax law which specifically exempts construction in progress. So that machinery and equipment while in the construction phase until it's operable to use in business, it's not subject to tax. It eventually will be taxable. But in answer to your specific question, no, it
would not be. So there'd be a period of time, basically the period of time from which your company receives the payment until construction is completed, which would not be a tax provider.
That is correct.
Let me ask a different kind of question. Taking your $10 million figure, let's assume $4 million in progress payments have been made, and the risk theory patent passes. If that company were to default, do you have to give them the $4 million that you've already manufactured, or do you have the right to make it on
When you say the company defaults, you mean ATS would default?
The company that's buying it.
The company that's buying the machines from ATS?
Customer.
Okay. To the extent that they have made progress payments, they are entitled to whatever those progress payments represent in receiving the machine and equipment in basically an unfinished state. That one of those examples did in fact occur as part of the record in cases of what would happen. Where the contract all of a sudden ceases. And Mr. Shively, who was a controller for ATS at the time, testified that they worked out a deal with the customer made so many payments, and they were entitled to the machinery and equipment up to the extent of what they paid.
Mr. Clark, this robotic equipment is of absolutely no use to a purchaser until it's complete. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
The whole system.
Right.
And have payments that are being made aren't for completed work, rather they are, in all instances, being sorted out, they are all pegged to certain five equal installments starting with the planning stage. So it isn't pegged to, you know, this component is now ready to ship, for instance. It is really just five equal installments to help, arguably to help finance the progress of the work.
Yes, and the five installments are not necessarily all equal either.
That's okay, and they aren't really to the progress of the... My next question is, each of these customers retains a right to reject that product upon completion.
Yes, that's correct.
And isn't that inconsistent with the taking a position that the customer somehow owns one-fifth of this unusable plan?
This may be a silly analogy, but I've thought about that same question you asked, and the only analogy I come up with is, if I buy something and it turns out to be defective, I can always return it. Generally speaking, I can return it. And I think that's the same situation here.
Yeah.
But
right to reject, of course, is a different commercial concept.
Yes.
One doesn't accept ownership. You know, the right to reject is the antithesis of that. Acceptance is the opposite of the right to reject.
Yes.
Aren't you paying for the technology and not necessarily the machine itself? Aren't you paying periodic payments for the thinking and the planning and the technology that goes into the process?
Some of the payment would necessarily be for the design, which I think would include the technology, and that would be part of the total purchase price paid for that particular machine. And to the extent technology is included, yes, that would be the case. The one issue that I really want to stress as a threshold issue to the court is neither the tax commissioner nor ATS argued that ownership was irrelevant before the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board on its own decided that it doesn't make any difference whether ATS owns this equipment or whether the customers own the equipment. equipment. But their reading of the statute, 571116, was that ATS was required to list and value this inventory in its return, regardless of ownership. I think both the tax commissioner, I know ATS would concede that that is incorrect. I think the tax commissioner, in his brief, has basically said the same thing. I think the statute is clear that the manufacturer is only required to list inventory which it owns. With respect to the ownership issue, included in my brief were a number of provisions of the various contracts that ATS had with its customers, which specifically addressed the ownership issue. And some of those provisions simply stated that to the extent the customers of ATS made progress payments to ATS or reimbursed ATS for the machinery and equipment, then ownership of that machinery and equipment was in the customers. And I think in those cases, it's absolutely clear that ownership was in the customers of ATS to the extent of progress payments. And I would submit that even in those instances where there was no specific provision in the contract regarding how the progress payments were to be treated in terms of ownership, the fact that ATS is required to record those progress payments on its books as a deduction in the valuation of its inventory, and the fact that the customers of ATS are required to record those progress payments as an asset on their financial statements, both support the position that ownership, in fact, has been transferred to the customer to the extent of the progress payments. And even where there isn't a specific provision in the contract, I think it's clear, under at least accounting principles, that ownership has transferred. What I'd like to do is just address one other issue in regards to what I consider to be a mistake of the Board of Tax Appeals, and has been compounded, I believe, by the comments or arguments made by the Tax Commissioner, and that is that under generally accepted accounting principles, ATS could recognize the revenue from these progress payments in either one of two ways. One, the completed contract method, where they wait until the contract's completed and then they recognize revenue, or the other is the percentage of completion method, where they recognize the revenue over the period of time during which construction takes place. There was an assertion that that governed the way the progress payments had to be treated, and that is why ATS filed the way it did. That is inaccurate. Whether ATS uses either one of those two particular accounting methods, ATS is still required to record progress payments as a liability and must, according to generally accepted accounting principles, reduce the value of its inventory by that liability, indicating, at least in my opinion, obviously, that ATS does not have ownership of the inventory for which the deduction for the progress payments has been taken. And on the other hand, as I indicated earlier, the customers of ATS are required to record those progress payments on their financial statements as an asset. And for high personal property tax purposes, and this court is well aware, it is a book value tax, and you have to be guided by the books and records and financial statements of the corporation.
Yeah, but your records and your tax return have to show that the installment payments received by you, ownership of those installment payments is transferred and they're used for your general purposes.
You
surely don't escrow the money.
No, on the financial statements, I mean, it is recorded as liability in arriving at the valuation of the inventory. For income tax and income purposes, that's I submit irrelevant in our situation here. I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Clevenger. Ms. Price.
First of all, I'd like to clear up one or two matters that were raised either by discussion of the appellant's counsel or in questions before the court. The board did, in fact, make a factual determination in this case. The board determined that ownership began in appellant and that there was no transfer of ownership. The board found that appellant, in fact, purchased the materials in question that it used in manufacturing. if use those materials in order to produce a product for profit. In other words, it changed the product, it added something to the materials and parts, and then sold it to the customer. There was no transfer of ownership because appellant, during the manufacturing process, which is the period of, for which it was assessed to the appellant, during the manufacturing process, appellant maintained possession and control of all of the materials and all the parts. It carried insurance on the materials and parts during the entire manufacturing process. It bore the risk of loss. The contracts in question, the quote prepared by appellant, the purchase orders prepared by the customers, make no reference to a transfer of ownership at any point in time during the manufacturing process. In fact, in most of those documents in the transcript, the customer reserves the right to reject the product, up to and including after installation in its own facility. The statute in question, 5711.16, states that a manufacturer, a person who purchases, receives, or otherwise holds personal property for the purpose of using it in producing a manufactured product, shall list such property on his personal property tax return. Now, that is what the statute requires.
Let me interrupt you right there. If ATS had completed its work on a number of robots, let's say, and they were boxed up and they were in a large room waiting for the customers to pick them up, the customers had paid for them, who pays the personal property tax on those customers? Or
if they are
let's say they're there for a month and the customer hasn't picked them up yet, but they're complete, and the customer has made all the payments.
If the customer has made all the payments, under most of the contracts in the transcript, the customer still has the right to reject the entire equipment, completed or not, because most of the contracts allow him, even after installation, to reject. In other words, it would be ATS that would be stuck with those robots if the customer decided, even after installation, that he did not want them, that they did not fit his specifications or perform the job.
So does ATS then still report them as personal property when they're in the customer's location and they're installed until the customer takes some contractual period of time to accept it or not reject it?
Your Honor, ATS is required by 5711.16 to report and pay tax on it during the time it's in manufacturing. If there's a change of ownership, a complete transfer of ownership, the responsibilities of ownership, the indicia of ownership, possession, control, right to dispose of, or bear legal title, at that point, that is when the customer is required to list and pay tax on those completed robots.
So it would be at the time when the customer had completely paid for them and had installed them in his business.
And had not exercised his right to reject. As long as the customer has a right to reject and send back.
Even after, you're saying that ATS would still pay the tax on them even after they're installed in the customer's business because the customer has not exercised its right of rejection?
ATS is required to list property that's on hand as of the last day of December of any given year. He's also required to list any property that was on hand during the year, parts, materials, and therefore, at some point in time during the course of the manufacturing, those items or materials and parts would have been listed by ATS. Whether or not as of the end of a given month of an accounting period, they are still in the possession of ATS, is determinative of whether or not they must be treated as part of the average value of all manufacturing parts and equipment on hand.
I would just like to step back in your argument. When you began your argument, you were commenting on the fact that several of the justices have mentioned remand in this case to make certain determinations to the BTA. It appears from your argument that the BTA already had all that information before. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And made those determinations.
The BTA looked at all of the documents in the statutory transcript, and the transcript of the voluminous document has over 800 pages. And there were numerous copies of contracts in there, quotes from appellant, purchase orders, and on those contracts, the purchase orders prepared by appellant, The board reviewed those and saw that the contract made no provision for a transfer of ownership. The board also looked at the purchase orders. They determined that the payments had no relationship to the value of any particular equipment. In other words, the payments were 10% before you start, 20% after you reach a certain point, 20%, 20%, 30%. It was not linked to the value or the cost of any particular material. It did not say, after we build phase one, or after we build a certain portion of this robot, you will be required, you will own this portion of the robot. There was no linkage between, it was a percentage of the entire contract price, and it was not related to the specific equipment.
So it's your position if the contract and all the other facts, whether it's a single document or it's a lot of paper and communications back and forth to make up the evidence as to what transpired, what was intended. If parties had behaved differently, you could have a transfer of ownership of a partially completed asset that would then take it off the tax duplicate for this taxpayer.
If there is a transfer of possession and control under 5711.16, that would relieve ATS of the requirement of listing it on its personal property tax return. The critical words in the statute, Your Honor, relate to what is required of the manufacturer. And there was no instance where, in this case, ATS transferred anything prior to its completion. ATS never has transferred any equipment prior to its completion, and it is not what the customer wants. That is what the board determined. Not only do the contracts not indicate that there is an intention on the part of either party that there be a transfer of ownership, the board found that the contracts don't even indicate a desire to own the equipment prior to its completion and installation and proof of its operability.
Again, because what we write or decide will affect other manufacturing processes. Let me take you to a hypothetical. It is significantly different. Someone is commissioned to, contracted to build a sophisticated, maybe one of a kind or prototype. Let's say machines. It's highly complex, experimental. Maybe it's even classified. And the government or whoever's commission is built. Regardless of how far along it is, it's ours at all stages because it is so. It is so strategic. If something happens in this process and it doesn't get completed, we own it all. We own it from the time to start. That would then qualify as something that the manufacturer would not be required to pay tax on. Even though it's in their shop and they're still building and assembling and doing all of those things.
I would say that the contracts would indicate that it's the intention of the parties that ownership transfer at a certain point, and that the contracts could be found to be controlling. That if the contracts so state, and in our case they do not, that the parties both intend a transfer of ownership, under 5711.16, ownership could be deemed to have been transferred to the government in that case, and the government would be required to list it if, in fact, the government was required to list.
Maybe I should use the government example, but something that's high tech, that there are important reasons why the person paying for the construction of this doesn't want anybody else to ever see it or have any ownership of it.
Your Honor, usually a contract will provide that in the case of a breach, if there is something unique about the product, that ATS would also not have the right to sell it as is. ATS would only have been allowed to remove the parts, take the parts and do what they could with those and get their money back. And we believe that is what happened. There is no indication that any of the customers ever took possession or control of or assumed responsibility for any equipment prior to its completion. Now, I'd like to point out that what we have here is a statute enacted by the General Assembly which specifically provides what a manufacturer is required to list. And we have, on the other hand, accountants, the appellate's assertion that an accounting entry supersedes the action of the General Assembly. This is an accounting entry that the appellant uses to reflect what it considers to be the proper method of reflecting its inventory. Ownership is indicated either by legal title or by a combination of other indicia. Those are possession, control, the right to dispose of. And appellant not only had actual legal title, because they purchased all of this material, they had possession, they had control, they had the right to dispose of it. None of the indicia of ownership existed in the customers. There was no title, they did not purchase it, they had no possession, they did not have control over it, they did not insure it, they had a right to reject it.
Would they
simply were not the owners.
Would they have had the right to destroy or sell to somebody else the half-built robot for a customer that had already paid the installment payment?
Are you suggesting that if ATS had breached this contract?
No, I'm suggesting that you said they had absolute primary jurisdiction and control over this inventory and the completed product, or the half-completed product.
In the case of a breach,
they couldn't have sold that or delivered to somebody else, could they?
Yes, they could have. Because in the case of a breach, they negotiate what happens to the equipment. There's no provision in any of the contracts that provides that in the case of breach, ATS must do this or the customer must do that. They negotiate at that point who will take ownership of the abandoned equipment. ATS can either take the parts and try to return it to its suppliers, or do what they can to get their money back. The customer, if something unique, such as testing equipment, is a part of the equipment in question that's being abandoned, then the customer may say, well, in this case, I choose to become responsible for it. I choose to become the owner. But they're not required by any of the contracts to do anything other than walk away. They have made progress payments. They have paid appellant for its service, and they can choose to walk away from all of the material in question. There is no legal requirement whatsoever that they take possession of or control of this equipment until they say so. If they install it and it operates and they are satisfied with it at that point and only that point, are they required to become the owner with all the responsibilities of ownership. I'd also like to point out that the record reflects that the treatment on the books of the customers in this case is not a matter of evidence. Appellants provided documents which were dated past the assessment period, and in those documents, the customers asserted that their treatment was thus and so. But it was not relevant in that it was not with respect to the accounting period. As far as we know, it could reflect a change in the accounting period as a result of this audit. During the accounting period, there's no evidence that appellant, the customers, treat the assets as part of theirs. The only evidence in the record is that appellant purchased it, books it on his records at cost, and then makes some worksheet entries, which are reversed by the accountant. And as a result of nothing more than these worksheet entries, appellant asserts that there is a change of ownership because of an accounting entry. If the substance of the transaction does not transfer the ownership, how then can the accounting entries accomplish that? If the taxpayer under 5711.16, and the statute specifically says a manufacturer shall list all of the property described in the first sentence, and that statute says specifically, and I will read the exact language, a person who purchases, receives, or holds personal property for the purpose of adding to its value by manufacturing. They can do whatever they will with it. They add to the value by manufacturing, refining, rectifying, or combining different materials. Not the same materials, different materials. They do whatever they will with it. with a view of making a gain or profit by so doing, is a manufacturer. And the ATS is the one that's going to make a profit by combining and adding materials. The customer has no control over that.
You have used your
when
time.
When such a person, if I could just make one last statement.
Very
the statute
quickly.
Says that when such a person files a return, he shall include the average value of all the property described, estimated and provided below, all of the property, all articles purchased, all articles received, all articles otherwise held for the purpose of being used in whole or in part in manufacture. That is what the statute requires. The accounting entries have no bearing on the enactments of the General Assembly, and the CPA and the accountant in this question so testified.
Thank you, Ms. Price. Mr. Clevenger, you saved about a minute and a half of your time.
Thank you. I'd just like to address the two issues that Mrs. Price brought up. One, the assertion that it's just simply an accounting entry. Well, as I responded to Justice Douglas, I think one of your questions was how do you really account for this? And my description was you take $10 million worth of quote inventory for which the customer has paid $8 million, ATS then pays tax on $2 million worth of inventory. I think that's absolutely clear. And to say that that's just simply an accounting entry is erroneous. I mean, it reflects the value of the inventory which ATS owns. They have to reduce it by the amount of progress payments because they don't own it. Lots has been talked about possession and control. Well, the statute doesn't say possession and control. The statute says ownership. There was an assertion that there was never any indication that there were terms that provided for ownership. I suggest that the court look at I think it's pages 9 through 13 of my brief, and there are provisions set forth in innumerable purchase orders that which essentially constitute the contract between ATS and its customers, and they all specifically provide that to the extent that the customer has paid for or reimbursed ATS, then ownership transfers to the customers. So there are specific provisions that deal with the transfer of ownerships, although admittedly they are not in all situations. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Mr. Marshall, please adjourn court.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open